Welcome to The Ether. Today is Sunday, February 5th, 2023. Today on The Ether, Super Terra hosts Back on the Block. Regular open debates return with Simon Chadwick and friends. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Deebs. Good to see you here. We're just waiting for Simon and hopefully we'll get underway in a couple of minutes. Good to see some friendly, familiar faces. Hope you're both keeping well. Simon's just messaged. He's probably going to join in about 2 minutes, so we'll get the show on the road then. Yeah, if you can give me a thumbs up if the sound sounds okay, because I've had issues with my headphones. I'm having to do directly onto the phone audio today. So just let me know if you can hear that clearly. Perfect. Thank you very much. Cheers. Right. I'll shut up now. I'll just wait for Simon and then we'll get kicked off. Right, I'm wondering if the Twitter gremlins have got you, Simon. Hopefully you should have the invite to co-host and... great to see a good... Aha, there you are. Great to be back. It's been a little while, and I know we've talked about this a number of times, sort of finding a suitable sweet spot between both of our very different time zones. So good to see you as always.
Hey. Sorry for the delay. I had a bit of bout of barley belly this week again, and I'm still kind of recovering, so I'm around.
Oh, no, there seems to be a lot going around. Obviously, you know, I've had a few issues of my own in the last couple of months. But yeah, no, I hope you're feeling a bit better soon. That's horrible. Yeah, I can empathise. I think the worst thing that happened to me was losing my voice. I mean, I felt ill as well, but I lost my voice around sort of Christmas and New Year, which maybe was a blessing for the people around me, but it was pretty horrible sort of chest infection that I had. But yeah, hope the barley belly passes quickly, Simon, and... yeah, sorry to hear that. Hopefully we can get into a positive note, though, because this is actually, shockingly, I think is this our first gathering of the new year? I know we did do one the back end of last year, and obviously I know you and I have spoken separately anyway on a few occasions, but I think this is our first of the traditional spaces sort of in the new time slot for probably 5 or 6 weeks, possibly more.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been interesting. I mean, the last couple of months, like keeping up that consistency, the ups and the downs and the Christmas periods and you getting sick and everything happening has been challenging, but it's good to be back. I'm really keen to get like a good routine of this going. And I mean, since I moved to Bali, the time zone changed a lot and it made it much harder for us to do our regular ones. I was already doing it at 6 a.m. back in Australia. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I was always impressed by the fact that you started your day, and you know, normally the first few minutes of the spaces would be your brain sort of booting up for the day. But I think it's quite nice. It's not a bad time slot now. Probably better for our friends in your old haunts, as it were, in New Zealand, Australia, and so on, and pretty good for European. So it's 1 o'clock my time, obviously 2 o'clock Central Europe. The one area that obviously it's a struggle for is our good friends across in the US and Canada and so on, because it's pretty early for those guys, I'm guessing. Obviously, East Coast, it's kind of a breakfast one. West Coast, it's still the middle of the night. So it is hard to find a global sweet spot for everyone to be able to join, which is why, as always, it's great that our friends from Terra Spaces do capture these. I know I can't see Finn on here at the moment, but this time it is actually recording, so there shouldn't be any issues with later retrieval. But I think, Simon, as we were saying the other day when we were sort of having a sort of our preview chat, as it were, and just general catch up, there's not really a kind of big topic plan for today. It's just very much kind of, you know, getting a lay of the land as to where we are with the market and all the many things that have happened probably since we last were on the same call. I thought it'd be really good, actually, Simon, if this works for you, maybe to start with some of the extremely exciting things that are happening in the eclipse pad world, and then we can perhaps go on to kind of some of the broader market and some of the projects that are catching my eye. And I think as well, I can see in the audience, we've got Don Ocko, who I'm working with on a very exciting new project. And we did our own sort of little sneak preview last Sunday, so we can perhaps get onto that subject a little bit later on. So over to you, Simon, if that's all right. Just checking there's not an audio challenge at your side, Simon. So I unfortunately can't hear you. I don't know if anyone else can. There we go. It looks like Simon's been rugged. So hopefully Simon is, I can see him twice on my screen. We'll get Simon back up. Obviously, if anyone else wants to step forward, because there's so much going on in the various different projects, to feel free to obviously request, and we'll get you up here and we can have a bit of our sort of general debate and chat that we normally do. So I'm hoping Simon is back with us. It's funny how that happens sometimes. You actually go to speak and then it just literally rugs you, which clearly Elon hasn't quite got that one mastered yet, but I'm sure he and his teams are working on it. Well, whilst waiting for Simon, obviously in terms of myself, the last couple of months, yes, I've had a few health issues, a couple of deaths in my family as well, which were quite shocking and quite sudden. And also find myself a man of leisure for at least a little while, as my trad job has come to an end. But I see it as a bit of a positive in a strange sort of way. Obviously, aside from the loss of income, there's ways to deal with that side of things. You just adjust accordingly. But what I was going to say was, it kind of gives me that freedom to look for something that I really want to do, and obviously devote some energies into the or more energies into this space. So the fact that it's coincided with my health getting better is maybe a positive. So yeah, I'm really keen. And by the way, thank you. There's several of you I can see on this call who've inquired after me. So I do appreciate those messages on Twitter. And I know I've not been quite as active and chatty as perhaps I have been in the past, but I've certainly not gone away for any other reason than, literally a bit of sort of R&R and getting myself back in the game. So yeah, so we'll see what happens. I should have a lot more free time pretty much as of this week. And as I say, I'm keen to sort of, see what Web3 can offer. And even if it's just in my continued capacity of doing spaces and chatting to projects, I've got that mental energy that I can sort of devote to that, and also work out what I'm going to do next in my life, which is actually quite strangely exciting. I think it's maybe it's the stage of life that I'm at, that I see all these things as a positive opportunity rather than a disaster that's befallen me. With that in mind, I don't know, Simon, I did invite you back up. I appreciate you maybe having some technical issues. I know when we were on our chat yesterday on a Google Meet, we had a couple of sort of glitchy moments, but hopefully, as if by magic, you're back, Simon. So I don't know how much you caught of my intro to sort of get you to talk about where Eclipse Pad is, but then suddenly I realised you'd been rugged, and then sort of did a bit of filler explaining about what's going on with yourself as well. So if you're back, it'd be lovely to hear how things are going with Eclipse Pad.
Hello, hello. I am back. So the internet in Bali sometimes has a temperamental thing that goes on, so it sometimes drops out. Where was I? Okay, so, where are we up to with Eclipse Pad? Yeah, so I had a bit of a lull over maybe December and the first part of January. It was really difficult to kind of figure out what were the next steps in terms of pushing forward. I mean, for those, very involved in the market, like, it was really, really, like, tough. Like, everything was kind of, like, tumbling, and it was like, as a launch pad, you're reliant on launching projects, right? Like, to launch, you can't just launch your own token, and it's going to die to hell if you don't have like a pipeline of decent projects to launch. And after FTX happened, it was like pretty much everything kind of wiped off. And, we'd launched, we were kind of, our plans were to launch on Juno, but there wasn't really much launching on Juno. Or if there was stuff launching on Juno, it was, they had already plans for they'd already airdropped, like Wind had already airdropped and, etc. So it was like really challenging from that front. But then over December we were really working on figuring out what was kind of our proposition to kind of stand out from. We already Eclipse Pad was already very innovative. We already had some really cool stuff, some really good visions and directions. But it was trying to figure out what kind of things can we add on, what kind of things can we focus on to kind of make it even more differentiation, allow us to raise capital, allow us to kind of stand out or gain traction in this market when potentially things weren't launching, and went in a fair few different directions, investigated some really, really good ideas. It was just they maybe weren't the right thing at that right time. You know, some of them were too early. Some of them, the work required was going to be too high compared to where we were at. So it was kind of just kind of rolling over and over. And then come, you know, January, some I'm not going to say too much because some exciting things have happened behind the scenes, and I don't want to spoil them, or, you know, certain things I can't say just yet. But, you know, we're talking to some very, very some people with some very, very high end pool in the space, and we're talking about a partnership behind the scenes, and that kind of just kickstarted this crazy momentum again towards, like, we obviously we're on Say Network, and we have the deal flow for a lot of Say, so we're going to be launching a lot of Say projects, but some of this stuff behind the scenes will kind of allow us to become very competitive and launch a lot of change across Cosmos. And and then, you know, it actually kickstarted something even greater, which was like, hey, we need to change the way we look at launches in a shape or form. So we've actually, like, I'm talking to a couple of, like, pretty big teams behind the scenes. One of them's a institutional custodian that works very close with Fireblocks, and they have, like, a research lab. And, you know, we're working on a V2 model that actually revolutionizes launching. So we've kind of broken down a lot of the issues that come of launching, not just IDO launch pads, but actually what goes into launching a token. Because a lot of it, what we found is that there's a lot of teams that are very hesitant to launch as IDOs because of the regulatory landscape. There's a lot of fears around, even though we're geo-blocking the US, there's a lot of teams that are kind of going more towards LBPs, and they're less kind of inclined to want to raise capital from the public. So we thought of it and we've changed up kind of the way that we look at it. To offer actually to work on a modular solution. So it's kind of, instead of, like, you know, this is the flow, it's going to be a bunch of components that create flexibility for teams to do different things, like bootstrap liquidity, lock in large amounts of liquidity. And yeah, there's a whole bunch of cool stuff happening, but I'm excited to kind of unveil it. And I'm working on the white paper with some pretty big people that are much, much smarter than me, let's just say. So it's kind of exciting to have some really cool people behind it, some really good DeFi minds, some, you know, like ETH kind of OG guys, and some people that really understand, like, the game theory and this kind of stuff. And then, you know, obviously my brain adds value there, and then I'll come in on top to help simplify it further so that it's more retail friendly, rather than being, you know, heavy degen only. Like, I'll be able to kind of come in and help to kind of simplify it. So yeah, that's where we're at. I mean, there's a lot left to be done. We're still going to launch our V1 functionality. We still have, like, a working product even right now that's ready to launch for Say projects. We just collected, like, a ton of data from these surveys, which gives us this very, very high-end. I want to say thank you to everyone that actually participated in these surveys. They've been, like, absolutely mind-blowing in terms of, like, reinforcing certain theories and hypotheses, and also, like, getting heaps of data across different verticals that will allow us to build products for the community in the future, which will be mind-blowing. So yeah, that's my rant over, but yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I know, obviously, we had a really good conversation yesterday around some of the great things that have been developing, and I know you've been bouncing the various surveys around to me over the last few weeks. I think it's fantastic. So I think listening to what people really want and then helping kind of produce a plan of action out of that is so, so powerful. And I think one of the things that really struck me, Simon, out of obviously the update you were able to give, and I appreciate there's lots of exciting things going on behind the scenes as well, is the fact that you're looking at almost balancing the different elements that would want to get involved in the launch pad side of things. So yeah, not just looking at the whole kind of degen end, but looking at a blend. And I think that's really important, again, for scale and for broader adoption. Also, obviously, very excited to see what is announced in due course in terms of partnerships and scale. I guess one thing I wanted to pick up on, which probably was the theme of the last time that we did one of these spaces, fresh after the a catastrophic collapse of FTX and so on. Have you noticed a change of attitude in the capital markets and so on since since you know, those big events? Because you've alluded to it with the funding model and so on, or do you think that was a natural progression that was happening, given there was a lot of other projects, not just obviously FTX, you know, Celsius and various other large and small disasters that we all know all too much about? And one of my New Year's resolutions is not to keep harking back to those, but instead to look to the positive. So sorry, a bit of a long question here, but I'll just guess, are you seeing kind of the type of willingness that's perhaps some of these you know, venture capital and other, you know, big investors are doing with their approaches to crypto investment?
So it's starting to pick back up, actually. I'm seeing a lot more uptick in re-engagement from the VC side. So basically what happened, we started trying to raise, I think was September or October is when we really started trying to raise, and we had a lot of VC interest initially, and it was actually like surprising amount of good VC interest. You know, there were some that were interested, but they're like, you know, not for us in a launchpad at this time, which was fair enough, especially regarding, like, you know, launchpad in a bit, it's not a bear market product, and they didn't know how long a bear market's going to go for. So in terms of risk factors for them, it's kind of hedging that. But as you know, we had a lot of interest around October and November. And had a pretty decent pipeline going, and then FTX kind of destroyed a lot of that. But I think it wasn't just FTX. It was a combination of the market getting worse, FTX, you know, really blowing up a lot of funds, creating a lot of fear for venture capital markets. But then also coming into Christmas and the end of the year, everybody starts to kind of wind down and slow down. So everybody's kind of, you know, most VCs were kind of winding down their operations in terms of like deploying capital and stuff over that period. And then, you know, since we've come into the new year, everything's picked back up. It's everybody's come back from holidays. There's a lot of platforms building. VCs are slowly starting to come back into the equation a lot more. I mean, it's still a very hard market for anyone to get funding. I mean, I talk to a lot of projects behind the scenes. I make a lot of introductions to a lot of chains building across Cosmos, a lot of projects. I'm in a lot of the VC chat, so I see the deal flow. And telling you, like, there's teams out there that are absolutely A-class that are still struggling to raise capital. Like, it's insane. Like, the valuations are, like, five times lower than they used to be. And these projects, like, some of the top teams are still struggling and really grinding through these rounds. So it just tells you, like, that the difficulty it is right now to raise capital and to kind of close these rounds is hard. It's still happening. There's still some teams raising, but it's definitely a dogfight out there. And I could tell you from experience, I went through it a lot through September, October, November. So I can tell you kind of firsthand how hard it was. And some teams out there that are absolutely like golden that are struggling. So yeah, it's definitely a difficult market for it.
Yeah, and certainly I've picked up on that a little bit as well from just some of the kind of the broader noises and some of the threads that I've been catching up on, where, yeah, perhaps projects are asking for support from different communities, and there's a sense that, you know, the rigor should be there. It should always be there, regardless of the market. But I think it just seems to get harder at the moment. But really good to hear that there is actually some positivity out there, even if perhaps it's a harder struggle. And to your point, Simon, as well, the valuations have dropped from perhaps some of their, maybe there was an inflation in the valuations due to the buoyancy of the previous bull market. But even so, that obviously then impacts when you're trying to go and ask for funding. There's all that kind of perhaps a different lens that the VCs and others are applying to this, i.e. looking for perhaps lower multiples for both their risk and return. But no, it's really interesting, and I think for me, yeah, good to, sorry, yeah, go on, I'll let you go.
Bit of a double-edged sword, right? Like, so when you're looking to kind of capital, you typically have like a projection of like, you've got this much allocation that you have towards, you know, raising funds, equity. A lot of them want equity and tokens now. It's not just, you know, SAFT, raising off a SAFT, which is a future, basically is a promise of future tokens that was used a lot during the bull market. It's called a SAFT. Now a lot of VCs want to raise off a SAFE, which is equity. So typically taking equity with a token warrant, so that either converts into tokens in the future, or they get equity plus tokens. It's a lot safer for them from the perspective that, like, if a token's not going to launch for a long time, they want to know that they've still got like a hard kind of ownership. But basically, like, what's this double-edged sword of fundraising is when you're in a bull market and you're raising, and people raise money in a bull market, they're typically really bad. And, you know, this is what you're seeing with a lot of teams that raise a lot of money, or they were used to large amounts of burn rate through the bull market. Raising in the bull market was like as easy as just a deck and you'd raise. Like, it was so easy, right? So what ends up happening is some of these teams raised absurd amount of money, right, easily, had overconfidence potentially in their products and their ability to execute or whatever, because they raised so much money and everything was so easier. Their burn rates were astronomical. And this isn't just like, this is across the whole space, not just Cosmos, not just Terra, the entire space, right? And when you raise money when the market's good, they're terrible at like managing that money or deploying that money or, you know, managing their burn rate. And so many teams have burned through like ridiculous amounts of capital for dodgy reasons or non-dodgy reasons or just mismanagement. But I think when you raise capital in a bear market, you become a lot better steward of that capital raise, because you're like literally bootstrapping and grinding through the fundraise, and you have to get really good at like really good. I mean, obviously salaries drop, like devs obviously don't cost 300K a year anymore, because there's so many of them kind of got laid off in Web 2, and you know, there's a lot less opportunities. But like you get good at safeguarding that. So I'm looking at, you know, okay, this is the amount that we have to raise for this runway to get to these milestones. But you almost have to split up the rounds a lot more, because if you're raising at a lower valuation, like if you used to be able to raise it at $50 million for seed or higher, now you raise it at 10 to 15 or maybe 20 if you're really lucky. You can't raise as much capital, or you're giving away a lot more for that capital. So you've got to almost step those rounds. So you've got to do like a seed, and you've got to do another round, and you've got to be able to like, if you need to get to like $3 or $4 million like in funding, you need to step that up. You can't do it all in one hit. So it's definitely a lot more strategic. It takes a lot more bootstrapping and ability to deliver. Like, you're going to deliver a product to get to the next milestone. So you've got to really push off low funding. So it's really interesting, but it's, I think long term it's a plus, because if you're a team right now that can raise capital, you can build what you need to build with a really small amount of money, and then you can get to that next stage, raise a little bit more money. Sure, you're giving away more for less, but your ability to execute is a lot higher, because you've pushed off a lot less money. So when the market does change, you've got a lot more fortitude. So I think it is a positive in a way. It definitely doesn't feel like it sometimes as a founder, but I think it focuses a lot more on delivery of products, whereas in the bull market, you could literally raise an amount of money without a product, and then where's your incentive to ship it, right? Like, they've raised all this money, then they're sitting on it, and you just get bloated, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's interesting, obviously I wasn't privy to any of those equity raising in the bull market, obviously only sort of secondhand conversations, but it does sound like that the whole approach, and maybe we could look at some of the big corporate failures in the same breath, that there was a lot of money being thrown very willingly without perhaps a great deal of depth of either ties or thought by some of these organizations, and it's almost now gone completely the other way, where you're having to be very, very prescriptive in order to get even the smaller elements released. And it feels to me that maybe we'll find a happy equilibrium at some point, but I'm sure there are lots of people sort of sitting on heavy losses of investment, when they've gone in on some of these projects that haven't actually hit the mark. But that said, Simon, one of the things I'm seeing that's quite refreshing in the broader market is we're seeing there are a number of big builders that are still continuing to support differing communities. I see TFL have got some good plans together, and there's lots of potential growth happening there. So I think a lot of the big brains are still in the space, but as you rightly said, some of these teams are obviously struggling to get the capital to then support their big ambitions. So the bear certainly has its challenges, for sure.
I mean, there are still some teams sitting on large amounts of capital, and they're the teams that, if they're able to kind of to sit on that and being able to kind of change their mindset, they can typically do very well. I mean, I saw a lot of teams that lost a lot of money doing stupid things. I mean, there's teams across the space that invested their treasures into Anchor, or that did a whole bunch of, teams started to raise $30 million and then start trading their treasuries. Like, there's so much stuff, and it typically comes from inexperienced founders or management or the hype that comes with it. And I think there are some teams that definitely raised and then they burned hard, and then they, when the market changed, they got kind of savvy, kind of laid off a lot of people, cut their burn rates, and are sitting on a bunch of cash. And then it's just about figuring out like where, what do we focus on now to kind of pivot and make the best use of the market. So there's definitely some opportunities. I think there's a lot of opportunities for founders in this market still. I think in terms of like character building, if you get through this time and you push through this time, like you're almost invincible, because like it's just been like some, like honestly, like the last couple months as a founder in the crypto space has been like really rough. Like it's almost like the hardest, you know, point that you can in the market, and that builds a lot of character and it really helps. And I'm sure like I see, you know, even Don on here and stuff, even NFT collections and stuff, man, that went through the fire. You can imagine like just being able to, like when you got a community and, you know, and people are kind of upset by price action or whatever it is, and keeping people engaged through like the time where everything's a lot quieter, and yeah, and seeing a future, it's like, well, everything's bleeding to death. Where is this going to pick back up? You know, it's definitely like, yeah, definitely a lot of learning there.
No, 100%. I think it's the old phrase, you know, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. And certainly the market has tested the patience and capability of many projects. I mean, with that in mind, it'd be fantastic. Obviously, this is our first Spaces back for a while. The format, as always, is if anyone wants to sort of come up and you know, put your own thoughts across or share things that you've noticed in the market, or indeed things that you're working on, anyone is indeed welcome to press that request button, and we'd love to hear from you, because I think much though I love talking with Simon and I know he loves talking with me, it's always fantastic to get that kind of viewpoint of, you know, how everyone's feeling, particularly in the current market. And there are, you know, whilst we're waiting, there are some good green shoots. You know, I'm seeing that for example, the Stargaze scene seems extremely strong and resilient in this market. We're seeing some of our old friends and great projects, such as the whole band of projects that moved to Polygon. There's some real positive power in that space as well, which is good. And we've got obviously the Spaced Apes are doing their next release, which I think is happening in the next 24 hours. And as I say, as I've alluded to, there's some quite exciting stuff that Don Ocko and the team are working on as well, which I think is going to be really exciting to see come to life. And yeah, I think for me, I'm just quite excited that in spite of all the roadblocks, the challenges, you know, the kind of multiple fires that we've all been through, that there is a core that's still here and still building. So yeah, I'm just going to bring so yeah, Ocko is stepping up to the plate, as it were. So I'll just get you up here. So no, always an absolute pleasure, my friend, and I know that you, among with many, have been super resilient in what has been a very challenging time. I think it's fair to say there's some very exciting positives on the horizon.
Yeah, I'm here since nearly 6 years now, so the bear market is nothing new for me, and even if it keeps on going for 2 years, it's no reason for me to stop on doing what I love. So, but I wanted to take the chance and ask Simon a question, because I am curious to know how the VCs where you are looking at the long-term prospect of crypto after FTX. Because I heard that Asia started buying after the new year again. The US is mostly still buying the top every time. How is the VC structure where you are?
I'm still seeing VCs interesting. Funny, a lot of VCs started shifting to AI, which is really hilarious. Some of the VCs I know just started talking about AI. I was like, no, I'm not going down that direction. But it's kind of funny. But no, they're still very interested in crypto. There is there's a bit of uncertainty around the regulation side, because getting to the – oh, I think I cut out.
Yeah, I think we lost you for a second there, Simon. But
am I back?
Am I back?
You're back now. Yeah, absolutely. You were sort of starting to get into the AI and VCs, and then it sort of broke up for a few moments.
Yeah, I mean, everything's focused on infrastructure, right? Like a lot of VCs are I've really focused on, I mean, obviously you've had them funding like all sorts of different innovative DEXs and long-term investments. So they're less likely to fund an NFT marketplace, for example, unless it's got some infrastructure components. It just depends. But yeah, you're seeing a lot of that kind of longer play, chains, roll-ups, scaling solutions, wallets. Yeah, there's definitely some opportunities out there. You just got to find them. I think there's definitely some golden nuggets that they're looking for that haven't been kind of solved in the space. I can think of a lot of ideas infrastructure-wise that haven't been solved that need solving. So there's definitely a lot of players. It's just getting the right team together and the right things and finding the right direction, vision, and everything, and then kind of doubling down on that.
Hearing how you focus on the tech side and making it more mainstream, well, acceptable or more mature, it sounds like Bitcoin is not that much of a factor anymore, and more the smart contracts are starting to shine because, well, they have more use cases or more potential use cases. So, like, my question would be, is Bitcoin still a factor, or is it not spoken that much about anymore?
Just wondering if Simon might be having technical issues again. I know it's been a bit in and out, but extremely good question, because, of course, in the previous market, it felt like Bitcoin caught a cold and the rest of the market caught flu, whereas hopefully there'll be an element of decoupling and development. Yes, it looks like Simon has been rugged, so I'll invite Simon back again to co-host. It's Barley Internet is not behaving today. But no, really, really good question. So hopefully Simon will be back in a moment. Yes, there he is. Great stuff. Excellent.
Sorry, the sound literally stopped working. So I didn't hear anything back from Don. It just kind of cut off.
Okay, no problem. I just asked, you seem to be very focused on the tech side and more on the smart contract and the use case side. So I asked if there still is any interest for Bitcoin, seeing that, smart contract chains have way more use cases and it seems people are waking up to that.
I mean, they don't really talk about Bitcoin very much. So it's kind of hard to gauge whether there's interest for Bitcoin or not, because that's not the VC's kind of job. I'm sure that they have treasuries and holdings of Bitcoin, but the VCs are really looking for startups, right? That's really the game. So, I mean, you got Babylon Chain coming to Cosmos, which is quite interesting. They're building Bitcoin security for chains, which is kind of cool. I was on a space with them maybe a couple of weeks ago with what's his name? David, I think David Tsu. He's always a professor at MIT for blockchain and cryptography at MIT, I think. And that's kind of interesting. But I think, obviously they're focused on smart contract levels. A lot of interest going into now that Polygon is pioneering these enterprise solutions, it seems to be a lot of people trying to go after these deals. But just also the infrastructure to be able to handle kind of future stuff. But yeah, VC is obviously not really going to talk about Bitcoin too much because that's not really their field.
Yeah, it seems that most DApps I could build on Bitcoin, I also can build on another chain. Plus, you mentioned, I can build enterprise level solutions or products or brands on smart chains, which is very much not possible on Bitcoin yet.
I really like the proposition of Babylon Chain, because if Babylon Chain can actually bring potentially good Bitcoin security to chains, maybe as a secondary layer of security, that would be really cool. I don't know too much on the tech depths of it, but that would be really insane. I know it's kind of meant to act like that. It's not replacing your security of chains, but it's a cool kind of concept, because to my understanding, and I'm not deep enough dev to understand the intricacies, but my understanding is that smart contracts on Bitcoin aren't really feasible. It's not a great proposition, at least just yet. There's actually a team in Cosmos that were the first to build on top of Bitcoin. They're a VC called Node Capital, and I've had a fair few calls with them. I talked to them from time to time, and they were Israeli guys. They were OG. They built something called Colored Coins, and they're OG Bitcoin builders, which is kind of interesting. Made a ton of money, and then you know, now they've got validators in Cosmos, although they're focused on Cosmos. They invest, they deploy capital. They actually invested recently in the round with Squid, Fig, and Squid building on Axar. So it's kind of interesting to see. Like, there's definitely a lot of Cosmos, ex-Cosmos builders in Cosmos, in ex-Bitcoin builders in Cosmos and Bitcoin kind of maxis.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Oscar. There are some great questions there. If I could put you on the spot a little bit, and I know we've had a separate spaces about this, but great to A, get your views, your own views on the market, but also if there's anything you can share further about the birth of a new and exciting project that I know is coming to fruition very soon.
I could totally do a little share if I should. I mean, I'm also totally cool with just being a listener and this being a discussion space.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. So with that in mind, obviously, yeah, you've got some great things that you're building, but we'll welcome your own views on how you're seeing the current market and the climate and perhaps as well the engagement side of things.
So looking at the broader market, I think we saw that before the Chinese New Year, like 2 years before the Chinese New Year, the selling from the Asian side stopped and was replaced with more heavier bidding. But it's now, you know, draining itself in this 24K, 27 block, which if we break through it would be, I guess, a reason for a formal beer rally. I don't know. I have no clue what I'm talking about. Of course, this is no financial advice. Volume is still pathetic. Yeah, I don't think we will see a new bull run in the sense of a new all-time high from the leg up we experienced so far. But I also think we have way more active communities and builders here now in this beer than in the last beer, where you could go in a Telegram group with 10,000 members and no one would write you back. So this is vastly different, and that speaks for me for a likelihood that the beer market will not take as long as the last time. So maybe we will front run the halvening a few months or even like half a year or so. Yeah, that's my rough market outlook. And concerning myself, well, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work rebuilding twice, everything twice, and then also tailoring a whole new IP for your product, which is supposed to be viable for, you know, potentially centuries as a brand or IP. But I'm happy with what I do, and I love what I do, so I'm still here, and I won't stop being here. And if there are any like specific questions about the project, I for sure can answer it. I can also give a little pitch, but I would prefer this being a discussion space since it was such a nice space so far, and I would just ruin it with, you know, making a long pitch here.
Oh, absolutely, totally understand that, and I wouldn't expect you to do that. I was more just interested because you're a builder that absolutely is, like we all have, gone through a bad market, but you've also suffered directly with you know, catastrophic failure with obviously one of the founders one of your first projects basically walking away after, you know, a monumental amount of work had been put in by the core team. I think the bounce back that you've done and the development of a community out of the ashes, I think, is something that, you know, I think it kind of has a parallel with the broader market. But yes, I mean, probably my only question on your project then, if we're going to keep it to a kind of very light one, was, are there any specific milestones coming up, or are you kind of still some way from, you know, bringing things into the light, so shall we say?
We plan to start the pre-sale for the first 222 NFTs in this month. That's mostly just to get the OG community going again, which is waiting for the NFTs and for the, you know, accessibility and making the Discord exclusive to holders, releasing music only accessible for the holders. So we really want to start, you know, giving back to the OGs that are still around. And then we have already talked to a bunch of projects, and we plan to expand the project whitelist massively. So we will whitelist whole projects, and if we trust a project or admire a project, then we can whitelist their whole community. And we don't plan to make a public sale, but just continue on whitelisting communities we trust, and therefore building, you know, a natural and organic community and not bidding for one hype day. But yeah, pre-sale this month. We will also drop the interview format this Monday, where I was interviewed and in front of the camera again since a long time, since I was acting as a kid, but I haven't been in front of a camera for a whole while. And the audiobooks will also release before the main mint starts, and two audiobooks are planned to release before the pre-sale starts, just as a proof of concept, because, you know, many brands say they build a brand, but after 1 year, there's just nothing. So we decided to release it even before we start minting. Can you guys hear me?
Oh, sorry, there might have been an issue with my mic this time. Can you hear me now? I could hear you loud and clear. I was just saying really, really good to see that, you know, you're coming to, well, bringing this all to fruition. And obviously, I for one, am very excited to see how that all develops and plays out. And obviously, I am privy to some of the background as well. So really excited to see how that goes. So yes, I think this space has been generally has been plagued by quite a lot of audio and technical issues. I know Simon's been rugged maybe three or four times, and I've had some sound issues. So I'm more than happy to perhaps, you know, Simon's just been rugged again then by those things, to wrap things up in the next couple of minutes, because I think Simon's particularly struggling with his comms. I'll just invite him. I'll invite him to speak this time, just in case there's an issue with the co-host, and there shouldn't be. But what I was going to propose was, we can look to wrap up fairly soon. Obviously, with that in mind, if anyone else who's listening would like to step up and say a few words, you're obviously all most welcome. And also, whilst I'm waiting for Simon to return, basically the plan is that we will now commit to do these on a regular basis at the same time each week, and kind of re-establish the pattern that we had previously. And one of the things that I'm keen to do as well is get, you know, different projects up, different discussion areas. I think we covered in the original series that ran really for the best part of most of back end of 2021 into the back end of probably October, maybe 2022. And then, of course, you know, Simon sort of moved locations, so that changed the timings. And then lots of other things started to happen in and around the market. So we're keen to get back to some of those, you know, those great conversations that we had. You know, we talked about utility adoption, you know, bridges to what we call the normie world, lots of NFT discussions, lots of DeFi discussions. Yeah, some quite profound ones where we talked about, you know, loss and bouncing back, you know, managing portfolios and risk, and just getting some general feedback and input from, you know, the many great and good characters that we've come across, you know, whether they be in Cosmos, ETH, the old Terra space back in the day, and so on as well. And of course, the new Terra space, where we're seeing lots of great things starting to develop, not least the Bone Labs and Skeleton Punk's been one that's, you know, really catching the eye as kind of trailblazers for almost like rebooting the scene within that market. So there's lots of different subjects that we can and will cover. Not least, we know the market changes almost daily in crypto, which is one of the beauties of it anyway. And that always leads to lots of food for thought and discussion. So I just wanted to share that aspect. And also thank you all for coming along and either listening or chipping in, and also appreciate all of your support over the last few months. And it's good to be back. And speaking of back, I don't know if Simon has managed to rejoin. I can see he's on the screen. I have invited him up. But yeah, I think we'll just probably look to close out in the next couple of minutes, and we'll be doing this again as a regular piece every Sunday. And separately, I'll be looking as well to start doing some of my project spaces that we've done previously. I'm sure Ocko and I will be talking about the project that he's heavily involved in developing, and there'll be lots of other ones as well, but bringing in different innovators in the market. So I'm really looking forward to getting back into those again. So it's been a little while. So I don't know, Simon, if you can hear me, if you can sort of put a thumbs up or a heart or something. But if not, I will try again to see if I can get you back to the floor. It looks like there's something a little bit hit and miss on it. Aha, there you are, you're back. So I was just saying, I don't know how much you caught of that, Simon, but probably looking to wrap up shortly, because I think we are getting plagued by technical Twitter space issues.
Nah, it's more like my Bali internet is very unstable right now. Less Twitter, it's just jumping in and out, not being fun.
No, absolutely. But I think as a first one back, I think we've had a good initial, where are we in the market, where are we in the world, and look forward to doing this again very soon, and hope you're feeling better soon as well, and that the stomach upset passes quickly, and hopefully your internet is behaving better for you as well, because I know what that's like. I've had that a few times with my house as well. So and thank you, Don, as well, for stepping up. Always an absolute pleasure, and thank you for everyone else in the audience. Many familiar faces here. It's really good to see that you're all still here, and look forward to speaking to you all in due course.
Yeah, it'll be awesome to just get more engagement again, and it takes consistency to kind of build up this stuff, right? Like, it's hard if you do here and then and people kind of drop off, and but just like being consistent and having kind of that presence and that voice. And Twitter is fairly quiet. There's a lot of junk going on. We know Cosmos CT can be like filled with drama and all that fun stuff, but it's good to kind of have a positive voice and have a good space for people to come to. So it's going to be good, amongst other things.
Absolutely, yes. I think we specialize in drama-free as much as we possibly can in these spaces, and it's all about giving people an opportunity to share grow and learn together. I think that's always been part of it for me. So I think on that note, Simon, we can bring this one to a close. But just to reiterate, we will be doing these as a regular series now on a weekly basis. But there'll also be other ones, obviously, at different parts of the week as well. And I'll be looking to probably start some European evening time spaces as well, which tend to work well. I appreciate, Simon, where you are. Some of those would be horrendously late at night. But certainly for our own series, I think this works quite well as a sort of a Sunday, as I say, early afternoon Europe, evening where you are in Bali, and obviously different parts of Asia. But obviously it's morning US, so it is doable for the early birds, or all the ones that are still up from last night, perhaps in certain parts of the world. I'm more than happy to do that. So yeah, as always, close off with thanking everyone. And I know Finn will be capturing this at a later point and putting this online as well, so that anyone who wants to listen back, I'll be sharing the raw version immediately after this anyway. Wherever you are in the world, have a great rest of your day, morning, evening, afternoon, or night, depending where you are.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Super Terra, Back on the Block, regular open debates with Simon Chadwick and friends. Recorded on Sunday, February 5th, 2023. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support.
Sneaking through back alleys on a little cosplay, Broadway all day, looking like the wrong way. Resuscitating major players in the waiting room, sifting through the paperwork while I be debating fools. Breaking rules, breaking bad, like we always wait for doom. Slayed a few in my early years, often hit the shroom. Sitting in the dark, waiting for the daily news to let us know what we should believe as the latest truth. Stay aloof, writing rhymes in the studio, trying to keep it well lit like filming a movie role. Sorting through support from your endorsements, of course we're tripping balls, handed reports it. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of pack of heads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do.
show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2, show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2, show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Big thinking energy always gets the best of me. When I kick it in the lab, messing with new recipes. Gotta mix and match, flip the latch, letting rhythm scratch. Dope shit, spitting facts with my vision smashed. Big drip aristocrat, dishing out a list of trash. Missing wisdom, this fish is too big to catch. Better let the missus know where you hit the stash. Watch your next step, bro, before you hit the traps. Walking on eggshells, tripping over landmines. And I'm about done dealing with these damn lies. Man, I'm looking at this planet like a franchise. Chastised into digging holes in the back nine. The latest proof ain't a way to move, chase a view. Just a bunch of peckerheads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2, show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2, show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2, show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2.
Terror Spaces.